Good morning.
Yeah, I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I thank you, Pastor Vince, for those kind words. You remind me those days, and we thank God for everything. Amen. Lucy is here again with me, and Lucy would like to say a word of bye to you. Lucy, would you like to come and do that in the next 1 minute or 2 seconds?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just wave me to in the air. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm saved this morning, and I love the Lord, and also to be here. This is another new day. Thank God for this wonderful day the Lord has given us. We rejoice and be glad in Him. In whatever circumstance you are, we must rejoice that this is the day the Lord has made, and He's there. Whatever we are going through, He's there for us. Amen. Thank you for your warm welcome. We feel at home. This is the second home away from home. This is home. Thank you, my brother Vincent, Mama Lisa. We feel that we are at home. Thank you for our sister.
Glenda.
Glenda.
Yes.
Glenda. Glenda, thank you so much for having us in our house. Oh, yes. We thank God for you. May the Lord bless you. So, as we go back to our home, you are just asking for greetings as you go to Kenya. Amen? Do we take our greetings back to Nairobi?
Yes.
And you're most welcome to come in Nairobi. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you as we hear your word this morning. We want to say thank you for the moment of praise and worship, a time of Holy Communion, communing with you and communing with one another. God, for that reason, we want to appreciate you. Thank you, God, for gathering us here today, because it's not by power, neither by mighty, but by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, because you have a plan, you have a purpose, you want to speak into our lives. God, as the word come forth, may you heal, restore, encourage someone this morning, amend where there is broken pieces, oh God, and make someone whole, and all to the glory and honor of your name, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. It's been a great moment to be here in Lakenheath for, do we say 2 weeks or how many? 2 weekends. Okay, 2 weekends. And as I said the other time, and Lucy has repeated the same, I would like to echo the same, that Lakenheath is our home away from home. And I want you to know that we are always comfortable when we hang around here. We have brothers and sisters. Even those who we've met for the first time or second time, I want you to know we really value our meeting. And we bless the name of the Lord. Your Pastor Vince and Pastor Lisa, these people have been a great friends to us, and for that reason we bless the name of the Lord. Whenever they come to Kenya, we feel our brother and our sister and other people they come with, all who are in their company, we feel like, yes, these people are meant for us, and we bless God for them. Amen. I would like to echo the same sentiments which Lucia said to our sister Glenda and Ron. Thank you so much for opening your doors for us to settle there. We settled. We ate well. We slept there. They left our house for us for 4 days. And we felt like we were in a holiday camp. We never wanted disturbances. And we thank God nobody called. Nobody called there. And we thank God for that. Amen. And Pastor Vince and Lisa, thank you so much. We moved there to their home just to sign the visitor's book that we've been here. And tomorrow in the morning we are leaving for Wales. We will miss this church. We will miss you. And God will give us another opportunity to come. If you don't come, we will come. You better come. I want us to open our Bibles in the book of John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. We've been fed so well. We've added a lot of weight. And I don't know how we are going to work it out by the time we go back home. And we've been fed so well here, and we bless the name of the Lord. John chapter number 4, where
we read last Sunday, that was our pilot verse, our portion of scripture, verse 20. We can begin from verse 19. The Bible says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Verse 21, Jesus said to her, the Samaritan woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship." Now, this means it is possible for people to worship that which they do not know. It is possible. And because one doesn't know exactly what he or she is worshiping, then one may miss the benefits which comes as a result of the worship offered to this person who is to be worshipped. So Jesus saying to this woman, "You people, you worship what you do not know, but we worship that which we know." And then verse 23, "But the hour is coming and now is, that the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, before I start going through these scriptures, I just wanted to say this. Every year I told Vince, when the service was going on, every year I come over here, at least there is a family which is released to go to another place. And this must be a statement spoken into our lives. I've never seen people who've been praying here released and they're laughing. People shed tears when they leave from this place. That means this is a home for many people. And there are things people are connected to in this place. There are new things people have learned. The grace in this house has been beneficial to so many of us. This is to say, let's not take for granted the time when we are here. There are things we are learning, and the things we learn here, probably we may not be able to get another opportunity to learn them somewhere else. Treasure what you hear from this pulpit every Sunday, and may God help you to go and to walk according to the revelation of his word. Amen. And the second thing I would like to say to all of us, when you are here, please serve where God wants you to serve. You're not going to be here forever. So that you may not walk out of this place regretting and say, "Oh, I wish I could have served God in those past 2 years. I wish I did this." We are not here permanently. Whatever we are witnessing could come upon you. One of these days you tell us, "Now I'm going." And the question will be here, have you left any impact here? Have you left any legacy? What will people be saying about you? You know, sometimes people will leave from a place and people are clapping their hands and say, "Oh, glory to God, they had to go." Because if anything, you are a burden. You are a burden, you never contributed to anything. They never saw you in prayers. They never saw you in the service. You did not bring any benefits in the family. People cannot remember you for any legacy you left. How I pray that when you are here, God will direct you to do something. We shall leave a mark in this place. Amen. Jesus is telling this woman, now back to the Bible. Those were advertisements which sponsored this program. Okay. Jesus is telling this woman in the Bible, that is in John chapter number 4. "Woman, believe me, the time is coming and that time is now when true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth." Now you need to get this. True worshipers shall worship God. The verb here is worshiping. Everybody say worshiping. But again, we have the noun here or the pronoun. It could be the worshiper. The worshiper. The Father, for the Father is seeking, is looking around, is fetching around for true worshipers. Are we together, church? So if you understand that, then you come to a place where in God you become a true worshiper. Now today I want us to challenge ourselves in the area of a true worshiper. This worshiper, can we talk to ourselves? Can we challenge ourselves through different scriptures in the the Bible. Those who shall be writing will be okay. Those who can be able to memorize it will be all right. But I want us to challenge ourselves about this person called a worshiper. And why is it that the Father is so keen looking for that worshiper? That everybody is coming in the church, but what I'm discovering right now, not everybody is a worshiper. Now, but the Father is seeking. Where there is seeking, it means it's not available. It's not something you can just see. It looks like it is very scarce. This commodity is very scarce. These worshippers are not everywhere. And this morning how I pray, as the Father is seeking another church, may he found the worshippers in this place. I say, may God find worshippers in this place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, this worshipper, I want us to see this worshipper in the light of the tabernacle. A worshipper in the light of a tabernacle. In the light of the tabernacle. All of us, we know the tabernacle was a place of worship in the wilderness for the children of Israel. And for 40 years, that is the place they went and met with God. It was a semi-permanent structure, but it was built under the specification given by God himself to his servant. So it is not something which was just built anyhow, and you know, and just people came together and just put everything together and say, hey, we are going to build this one, and provided we worship God here. God gave the measurements, God gave the pattern, and everything which was put there inside that tabernacle, it was the instructions of God. Can I hear a better amen here to everybody? Now, it is very important for us to understand this, that God's work is done in God's way. It's not done according to the way we feel. It's not done according to how I feel it, or from the setup of my region or where I come from, Kenyan way. No, it is not done Kenyan way. It's not done UK way. It's not American way. It is done God way. It is done God's way. And sometimes we come to that place. Some of us, we think, hey, I can do it the way I want. Why? Because I am volunteering. I can do the way I am because I've given myself to be a pastor. God's things, they are done God's way. God's work is done according to God's way. So God gave the pattern. God gave the measurements. And Moses had to adhere to that. So the tabernacle was set. And all of us, we know, I do not have time to go into these small details, but we know the tabernacle was divided into three areas. There is the tent of meeting outside there. The sun had to shine, and the light there was the light of the sun. Then you come to a place where, probably I'll use the term, because my brother Vince liked to use terms and terminology, the proper tabernacle. Proper tabernacle. Then you come to the second place where you get into the proper tabernacle. This place is covered. The holy place and the holy of holies is covered. It's covered by the tent. That means the natural sun, natural light, did not have access there. But whenever the worshiper came in, or the priest came, he came and entered there. He had to light the candlestick which were there, the candle lamp which were there. And then later on, this was only once per year he could enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, I want us to understand here that in the area of the tent of meeting, everybody was allowed there. Everybody came there, like the way we've come right here. Everybody's coming. It is for John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Everybody is invited to come there. According to the regulations of those days, everybody could come unto that place. And then from that place was the end of every other person. Everything was left upon the hands, or in the hands of the priests. And then the priest took over the service. After one brought the lamp, left in the hands of the priest continued from there, entered into the holy place. And once per year, he was able to access the Holy of Holies. At least now we have the picture. Now I want us to understand this, that true worshiper according to our times, because that was in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, I'm sorry. And all of us, we must come to a place where we understand that whatever happened in the Old Testament was a shadow of what was to come in the New Testament. So one has to come to that place where you are able to interpret what was done in the Old Testament, that it was able to appear, became reality in the New Testament with the coming of Messiah Jesus Christ. And therefore we need to understand that. We need to get that. So that time was over. But we are going to follow, we are going back to follow this priest, this high priest, who was able to access the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies once a year. This is where a true worshiper is seen. The rest who came and stopped right outside there, these people did not complete the pattern, did not complete the journey of worshiping God. And all of us, we need to come to that place where we understand that worship does not start and end outside there. That is the beginning. And we need to come to that understanding that at the place of the place of meeting, that is that place, the first portion, that is the tent of meeting where everybody came. People came with their sins. People came with a sacrifice. And they would come as a family with a lamp. And the father of the house laid his hand on this lamp. And when he laid his hand upon this lamp, he confessed all the sins of the family and his own sins. And then he released this lamp in the hands of the priest. And the priest took that lamp, took it to the altar, slain that lamp. And here I'll just speak about this blood. He took the blood in the bowl. And this was once per year. He took the blood in the bowl and have it with him. And then from that altar, there was fire which consumed everything. There are some parts of that lamb which were picked for special services. But the rest of the meat and everything was consumed right there. So with this blood in the bowl and the fire from the altar, he came to this place where he had to wash his hands. Now let's stop right here on the altar. Because most of us, we have ended up at the altar. Most of us, we are still living in the Old Testament. It's like we do not understand that Christ has already come. As a worshiper, that is the starting point. That is not the ending point. That place outside there, where there is the altar, where everybody is bringing the lamp of sacrifice and confess their sin, today is a picture of the cross, where everybody has to identify and come and confess his sin, repent his sin, and say, Father, I have messed up with you. I am sorry for what I've done. I am ready to repent my sin. Someone is coming to that place and say, hey, I want to return to the Lord. I want to change my mind. I want to turn away from sin. It is a place of repentance where everybody comes and bring his sacrifice, which is slain, because this lamb is what we call the scapegoat, the scapegoat lamb. Instead of me being slain there, I pass on everything on this lamb. And the priest took it right there on my behalf. And I went home alive. I went home with assurance that it shall be well with me. Yes, I sinned yesterday, but the lamb is already gone on the altar. I can go with peace. I can go and tell my wife, yes, it is well with us now. We can begin another life because the priest has accepted our sacrifice. Now get this. This sacrifice on this altar is a typology of Jesus Christ dying on the cross on our behalf. Once one accepted that, when one comes to that place where he recognized that Jesus has taken away my sin, Jesus has died on the cross on my behalf. He is the substitute of who I am. He became sin right here so that I may become the righteousness of God. Then one needs to understand this is the beginning of a worshiper. This is the entry point of a worshiper. Pastor Vincent, Pastor Alicia and Lucy who are here, and all of us who are here, we need to understand, most of us have come to that level and we say, I am a worshiper. That is the entry point. Being forgiven is the entry point. For he came to his own. His own received him not. But those who received him, he gave them power to become who? Sons of God. Now that you are a son of God, you are supposed to be a worshiper. Becoming a son is the entry point. That is not all what we can do in the kingdom of God. Becoming a son is a status. But that status has responsibility. Becoming a son is not end of everything. Becoming a son is an introduction to a kingdom where worship takes place. That's when I am introduced to the place where my life is supposed to give the worship to him. This was the bronze altar. Bronze altar where the sacrifice was offered. And we need to come to that place where we understand that this was the place where also at the end of the day when Jesus came, it was a place where humanity took the sins of human beings. Because Christ went on the cross as a human being, inside as God, but outside as a human being. And he went on that wooden, because even this altar of bronze was made out of the acacia wood, and then it was covered by the bronze, which symbolizes the availability of a human being on the wood, and then he takes away the sins of this world. John the Baptist, when he saw him under the revelation, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. When one knows that, he doesn't need to remain in sin again. One needs to give his sins to God, his life to God, and tell God, here I am, save me. Turn my life around. I want to return to you. I want to change my mind, and I want to turn away from sin. That is in the view of the gospel. In the view of the gospel. So a worshiper must come through this entry point, giving his life to Christ. What is salvation? Salvation is to realign your life, my life, with who Christ is. It's the acceptance and recognition of the finished work on the cross. And repentance is turning to the Lord. It's turning away from sin and to the Lord. It's the change of mind, which will be able to affect the way I behave, the way I talk, the way I do, and what I do, to who I do, and with whom am I doing it. Can I hear a better amen? This is the entry point. It is at the altar of bronze, the bronze altar. The worshiper came there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21. Here is where the power of his atoning death was revealed. It was here. And today, the 2,000 years ago, Christ did the same. He came, he became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. Not only that, he went on the cross on behalf of you and on my behalf. He was the scapegoat. He was the lamb which took away our sin. How does that one benefit you? It is until, like the days of the tabernacle, the father, the person must come and acknowledge, I am a sinner. May you take away my sin. May you take the sin of my family. May you take my sin, my personal sin, change me, and release Christ to do that for you. None of us can change himself. Christ is able to change you now and forever. Can someone say amen? What is repentance? It's turning unto the Lord. It's returning to him. Running away from sin and turning to him. Not only that, it is the change of mind. You know, once my mind is changed, everything is changed. If my mind is changed towards God, everything in my life is changed towards God. Paul is writing and he says, let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, that's according to the book of Philippians, which was in Christ Jesus, be in you also. The mind, because when the mind is changed, everything is changed. Number two. Number one, I've said, a worshiper has the entry point. And the entry point is the forgiveness of sin. Then number two is the bronze laver. Now, this is the place where after the high priest, after he had finished, you know, offering the sacrifice, here, I'll be very brief. And as he is walking towards the holy place, there is a curtain there, so you cannot see through. But here there was a brazen laver. Yeah, brazen laver. This was like a bowl. It was like a cistern with water. It was made out of the fine and purified silver, and it was shining like the mirror. So he came here with the blood and the fire. Remember, every step of a believer is about repentance. One walks, remembers that I am forgiven. So he had the blood. He had the fire here. He came to this ball and looked at himself. He could see himself through that. He washed his hands there and washed his feet. Now, what was this one meaning? He had to sanctify himself for him to be able to approach who God is. That means it is not automatic that I, as a pastor, that I stand here or I sing. I have to go the same process which you are going through. I must learn to pray in the morning. I must learn to pray in the evening. I must learn to praise God and worship Him. I must learn His word. I must invest time to go through the scriptures. Sometimes I am touched by what you are touched with. Sometimes our bodies become weaker. The way you become weak, and we need some people to come and give us fellowship or prayer. Sometimes we are down. We need encouragement from others. We are going through the same things which you go. If you shall be sanctified, I need the sanctification too. If you are to pray to God, I need to pray to that God. If I am to look for help from Him, or if you are to look for help from Him, then the same way I need to look for to get help from Him. We are just the same. It's only the grace to lead you, which is upon your pastors. So he comes and wash his hands, wash his feet, and he could see himself like in a mirror, see how he everything is to do with him. That was a place of sanctification. A place of sanctification. Very important for us to understand that a worshiper must walk in a life pleasing God. It's not about just saying, I am a pastor, I'm a worshiper in this church, or I belong to this church, or I belong from Deliverance Church Kenya, I'm a worshiper from Kenya. No, my life has to reflect who Christ is. In fact, if you ask me, this is a place of testimony where people look at my life and say, we can see Christ in this person. It's a place where a worshiper comes and he begins to examine himself. You begin to judge yourself. You need to search yourself. You don't allow people to judge you. This is not a place where people, you know, point their fingers to you. In the presence of God, it's a place where we are sanctified by Him. And because we are sanctified by Him, it is me and Him. It is me and Him. You can judge yourself correctly. When an altar call is made, it is you who knows which altar call you need to respond to. You don't need the opinion of other people, whether you should go or not. If I walk here, I don't need the opinion of my wife. I'll come here as Emmanuel because I have examined myself. I need God to touch me in this area. It's a place of sanctification, but it doesn't come just like that. And it comes when one has come to a place and say, yes, I need God in this area. I need Him to come and make me whole again. I need Him to come and help me. It is another way of looking at the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 3, for you have been washed by the water, which is His word. For you have been washed by the water, which is his word. That means a worshiper must be a woman and a man of the word of God. It is the word of God which sanctifies us. The more I feed the word of God, I feed my mind and my life the word of God, the more I become just like Jesus himself. You need to understand, the word of God will keep you from sinning, or sin will keep you from the word of God. You can choose by yourself. You run away from that word, then you attract, you become prone to sin and other behaviors which one is struggling with. And sometimes we come to the pastor or we talk to our fellow believers and say, I am struggling with this. I'm struggling with this. I believe in people praying for you, but also you can conceive, you can receive, you can engage yourself into a personal deliverance. By reading the word of God, may that word wash your mind and wash your life, and you begin to become the new creation again. Can somebody say amen? Very important for us to understand that. A worshiper is a person who walks in the sanctification of God. Must be ready to say, Lord, I need you in this place. Lord, I need you in this area. In Hebrews chapter number 12, we must read that portion of scripture. Very good portion of scripture. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4. That is a very good portion of scripture. What does the Bible say? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. What does the Bible say? The Bible says this way. Let me begin from verse number 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and to joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Now you see the function of the word of God. It reaches where nobody can reach. It deals with the things which sometimes we cannot speak about. It goes to places where nobody can go in me, in your life. When I allow the word of God, it's like I'm being transfused with the blood, with another blood, and the bad blood has been taken away. It's like everything, something is coming in my life and begin to wash the way I think, begin to wash all my system, begin to wash my life. And now the life which I have is the life of Christ. And that life is as a result of what comes in me. Remember, what comes in our life will either make you or destroy you. So when we give and allow the word of God to come in our life, that word washes us. That word helps us. That word helps a person. That place is a place of self-examining, a place of self-evaluation, is a place of self-judgment. A worshiper is a person who is walking the sanctification of God. And you need to understand this. That is not an event. It is a lifestyle. It is a process. It's something which is taking place every day. None of us is through that process. Every day I'm going through that process. Every day you are going through that process. And therefore you should not sit in such a service and feel condemned. Oh, I know I've been failing in this area. No. None of us is through with that process. The process of sanctification, Pastor, takes place every day. Is our daily life. Is our daily life according to what we allow in our lives. Can I hear a better amen here? So I need to be a man of the word so that my life can be sanctified. Number three, it was the place of the lampstand. Now, I just want to go quickly. This high priest, now he's coming from this altar. He's come to this brazen laver where he washed his hands, sanctified himself. He did not allow anybody to look at one place of his life and say, hey, this is not right with you. At that point is not a place where people point out some wrong things and your weakness. That's a place where I myself examine and say, surely, I have not been praying. I need to begin to pray. I have I've not been reading the word. I need to begin to read the word. That's not a place to wait for a preaching in the church to stir you up. It's a place where you examine yourself and say, I think I've not been faithful to God. I need to begin to be faithful. I think I've not been taking the things of God serious. I need to. It's a place of self-examining, self-judgment. And if you judge yourself, you judge yourself in the right way. Because it is me who knows who I am. And a worshiper has to come to that place. Then from there, he had to go through the curtain. And when he entered, on the right hand, there was the lampstand. This lampstand had a place where the oil was, and then there was one stem standing, which was holding seven different lamps. So the priest came, put on the seven lamps on, and that place lit the entire place of Holy of Holies. The holy place depended on the light from the lampstand. After that, he crossed over and went to the table. Now, right here at the lampstand, a worshiper sometimes goes through that situation. It's a piece which was holding seven lamps. And this was like God becoming the source of everything that believer needs to be able to shine. The Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory has come. Now, it is our responsibility to shine. Otherwise, God has already provided all that which we need for us to shine. That's why God has given us pastors. The church in the wilderness did not have a pastor. Only Moses, their prophet. Today, we have the Bible, each one of us, whether online or analog. Today, we gather at the church anytime we want. It was not in the wilderness like that. Today we can hear the gospel in the television. We have it written in the magazine. We have it in the books. We have it with our fellow believers. Whenever we meet, some people come up with a psalm. Some come up with a testimony. Some come up with a scripture which blesses them. We have all the time to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. We are living in better days than the people of the old. And therefore, the worshippers in this time must be better than the worshippers in that time. That time, worship was very eventful, but now everything has shifted in our hearts. It is happening within us now. And everything is taking place within our hearts. And Jesus, or God, is the source of the light in our lives. If you're writing, you can just write this because the time is already gone. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And also you can read John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, you'll be able to see exactly the patterns of how this Christ is the producer of the light through a Christian. The oil down there, it is compared, it's a typology of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabling the Christian to glow and shine. For it is not by power, it's not by mighty, but by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that basically is the one who works in us, helping us to become what Christ wants us to become. So that means every believer needs the power of the Holy Spirit and God Himself for you and me to become the witnesses, for us to be able to spread the testimony of who Christ is. If anything, if people want to see Christ, they'll never see Christ anymore walking in a physical way, the way he walked before 2,000 years ago, you know, were gone before the cross. People will never see him again walking in the physical way here in Lakenheath. They'll never see him again in London. They'll never see him again in Kenya. They'll never see, but they'll see him in us. The way we talk, the way we do things. And that's why the identity which we have today, Christians, it is the ability to portray the character, the behavior, and who Christ is to the entire world. If people want to see Christ here in Lakenheath, and anywhere you go, they must look at you and see Christ in your life. Can somebody say amen? A believer who is a worshiper has to shine, has to have a testimony outside there. You need to portray who Christ is. Your light has to shine. The book of Isaiah says, arise and shine. That is our responsibility. A believer must shine, must stand out and show off the glory of the one who has called him. Can I finish with this one? The table of the shewbread, because the time is already gone. From lighting, he came to the table of the shewbread. There were 12 loaves arranged there. He came and began to eat. It is a symbol of fellowship. The fellowship of believers. Because those 12 loaves, it was a representation of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel in the presence of God. And the priest comes and joins them. He comes and begins, you know, to benefit from them. Because in the fellowship is not one-sided. Fellowship is two-way traffic. I come and sit, listening, you talking, you singing, you contributing, and my life is being built. It is a place of fellowship. A place of fellowship. I do not have time to read the scriptures because of time. But you need to understand, every worshiper, not only being forgiven, don't remain there. Come and walk in sanctification. Because the Christianity life is very dynamic. Then walk into a place where you can show off the glory of God. Go out as a testimony. Go out as a witness. Not only here in Jerusalem. Some are going to Italy. It could be their Judea. And you could be going to Samaria. I don't know where you are going. Some of us, we are going back to Jerusalem in Kenya in a few days to come. But you need to understand, we need to show off. We are not going to stop right there. We need to go to be in fellowship with some people somewhere. Today there are people who challenge that. They say, oh, I alone and God, we are enough. We are the majority. Me and God, we are the majority. I don't object to that. But the Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of brethren as it is the norms or the tradition of other people. If people gather in the stadium because there's a football match, let Christians gather together because Christ has manifested himself. Ooh, amen. We can do that. Fellowship. And this, the question is this. This past week, whom have you fellowshiped with? If today people are asking a question, did you spend some time in fellowship with anybody this week? Did you find some time in fellowship with anybody? Sometimes it looks to be very manual because it's a church program. But it is life. When you and me just meet naturally without the church program and begin to share as brethren. Amen. Be in fellowship with others. It is in fellowship where things begin to work. In fact, the giftings of the Holy Spirit don't work with a person who is alone. It works when people come in fellowship, because those gifts are to prepare. Those gifts are to minister to one and to edify the body of Christ. Where is the body of Christ? Where fellowship is. A worshiper is a man or a woman who go to fellowship. And then there's a place of incense. All of us, we know that place. According to the book of Revelation, speaks about the prayers of the saints. As a worshiper, I need to be prayerful. I should not remain on repentance. Oh, I'm a born again. My name is Emmanuel Kokonyo. I'm born again. No. I need to go to a place where I walk in the sanctification of God. I need to be in a place where my testimony is known. I need to be in a place where I am in a fellowship with the brethren. My faith is weighed right there. That's where I know the giftings which operate in my life. And then I need to be in a place of prayer. The incense which was being burned, it is a picture, symbolizes the prayer. In other words, a worshiper has to be a man and a woman of prayer. It is good when we come together in the church to pray. But again, it is better when you pray by yourself. If I can encourage myself to pray in my closet, then when we come together, it will be a reflection of what is happening in the closet. Amen. I'll just come and begin to raise his name. I'll become to worship in prayers. I'll become to intercede in prayer. A worshiper must recognize that he is useless without God. He is nothing without him. I need your help. That's why I worship you. I need your help because you are greater. Worship is between the creation and the creator. It's between the master, who is our God, and us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Prayers must be a personal prayer. And then, with the bowl of the blood, he entered in the Holy of Holies. And when he entered there, he did not do anything. He did not say anything. There was the mercy seat there, the throne seat of God. He judges from there, and he passes decrees from there on that mercy seat. In the Ark of the Covenant, there was the pot of manna. What people ate in the wilderness, just to remind them the nourishment which God is giving to us at this particular time. There was also the Ten Commandments, which is about the doctrine and the word of God, which we receive at this particular time, which is anchored in the God in the head, who is Jesus Christ, and we are the body. And there was the staff of Moses, which of Aaron, which budded up. And that is basically because it was dried. But when God said, let it be there, it budded out. It represents the resurrection, not only of those who are dead, but resurrection of our lives in Christ Jesus. A worshiper is a person who is forgiven. A worshiper is a person who is sanctified. A person who is testifying. A person who is a witness is a person in fellowship, is a person in prayer, and is a person standing before God blamelessly. And you know what? When we stand before him with the blood speaks on our behalf. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse 24, the Bible says, unto Jesus, what does the Bible say about that? That is a very profound portion of scripture, Vince. Kindly allow me just to read that one. Verse 12 and verse 24. Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ. Verse 24, it is here. To Jesus, the mediator, that's the word. The mediator of the new covenant. Because without him, then we are not restored back to God. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that one of Cain. And we know Cain's blood complained before God. When the blood of Jesus was poured, spoke better things. Today we are saved as a result of the blood of Jesus. That blood is not complaining. That blood is praying for forgiveness on your behalf and my behalf. When God is hungry, when he sees the lost world, when God is hungry, when he sees people who don't love him, when God is hungry, when he sees people who are running away from his grace, Jesus is standing before God, who is hungry, ready to judge the sinners. He stands with the blood, his own blood, and he stands right there and say, Father, forgive them, because he is now the high priest. The best sacrifice. He has offered himself, and not only that, his blood is asking for forgiveness on your behalf and my behalf. He's pleading before the Father for my forgiveness, for my being set free. His blood has made you whole again. His blood has set me free. His blood has saved me and sanctified me. His blood has made us to be what we are. We are new creation because of his blood. He's the better sacrifice. He's the better covenant. He's the mediator between God and me. And now today, we are what we are because of his blood. Someone say amen. Amen. A worshiper needs to walk in the revelation of some of these things I've shared with us here. And after we've done so, we'll be able to meet with him and see him doing things in our lives. Shall we pray? Father, we want